My name's Amy, and it's really, really lovely to be with you all today. Thank you for having me. It's really, actually, I was saying to some people over lunch, like, so nostalgic for me being back. I was a student here in St Andrews, so it's very lovely walking around the old town, seeing lots of familiar sights and familiar people. I work at Chalmers Church in Edinburgh. I'm what's called a leader in training, so that basically means that I study theology for part of the week, and then I work at the church the rest of the week, and I'm kind of learning how to do ministry, with other women. So that's a little bit about me. But yeah, thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here, and thank you for being here, especially on such a sunny day too. Why don't I pray, and then we can dive in together. Father, we do thank you so much for good gifts of sunshine and food and time together, time to encourage one another. And we thank you too for this chance now to think about how we might open up your word with other people and introduce them to the Lord Jesus. We pray very much that you would help us as we do that. Please give us clear heads to think. Please help us to speak well with one another. Please help me to be faithful in what I say. And we pray that in your kindness this time might help us kind of grow in desire to and understanding of how to open up your word with others who don't yet know you. And would you use that for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amazing. So we're going to start by reading a few verses just from John chapter 1. If you're happy to turn there with me. And just give me some eye contact when you've made it there, and I'll know when to start. John chapter 1. That'd be great. Lovely. I'm getting some eye contact, so I'll go for it. I'm just going to start at verse 1 and read down to verse 18. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who's at the Father's side, he has made him known.'" Okay, so some wonderful verses there, and verses that are not just for Christmas. But they do show us lots and lots of wonderful things about Jesus here, right at the start of John's Gospel. And John tells us later in his Gospel that he wrote these things down to help people believe that Jesus is God's Son who can save us, so that they could come to have life in him. So loads of wonderful things about Jesus there, written to help people understand who he is. But I wonder, how do you feel about the thought of opening up the Bible with someone who isn't a Christian, reading some verses like this and chatting about them? How do you feel about the thought of doing that? And however you feel, why do you feel that way? Have a chat about that, maybe in twos and threes, just with people sitting around you for a few minutes. Shall we maybe come back together there? I'm sure there's more to say, but we'll keep moving for the sake of time. I wonder what some of the things that you were sharing were. I imagine some of us maybe might be kind of excited about the thought of that, kind of raring to go, sort of, these verses like show us such wonderful things about Jesus. Of course I want to share them with others. But I wonder if lots more of us might tend towards feeling a bit more kind of nervous about the idea, or just kind of slightly unsure about the whole thing. You know, I don't even know what half those verses mean, so how am I meant to explain them to somebody else, you know, feeling some of those things. I think that was very much my experience the first time I heard someone suggest the idea of opening up the Bible with someone who wasn't a Christian. It was when I was a student here in the town, and I remember them kind of at a CU meeting sort of suggesting, well, that might be a good thing to do, and I thought, they are having a laugh. I remember thinking, that's lovely, but I will never be doing that. Flash forward a few years and my mind has changed, but I totally understand that feeling of kind of, this feels a bit crazy, like way too intimidating, would be way too awkward. You know, why on earth would my friend who isn't a Christian like want to look at the Bible? Like, why would they want to do that? And what would the experience of that kind of even really be like? So if you're feeling like that or have some of those questions, you're definitely not the only one. I've been there, and I think a lot of us have. But hopefully in our time together today, we'll be able to begin to think about why opening up God's word with people who don't yet know him is something we can actually do with confidence, and begin to think as well about how we can actually go about doing it practically. So the plan for this session is we're going to look at kind of, there's sort of three big headings there in the booklet, I think, which we'll work through. And each of those sort of aims to answer a question that we might have as we come to think about doing this. So questions like, could it really work? Would it be a bit weird? And how do we actually do it? We'll work through each of those headings that aim to answer those questions in turn. And we'll have lots of time to discuss things more in twos and threes as well as we go. And some time at the end to pray as well. So let's dive in. Looking at that first heading there, if any of us are feeling that sense of could it really work, we need to remember that God's word is powerful and that we really can have confidence in it. I wasn't able to make the sessions this morning, but I think you've been looking at the parable of the sower as part of them. So yes, amazing. Yes, the seed is a picture of God's word we see in that story, don't we? And as it goes out and people hear the good news about Jesus, there are loads of different reactions to it. Some want nothing to do with it. Others are interested, but as soon as it gets hard, they're out. Others care more about the things that they get around them in the world. But some will believe as they hear the word. And they'll go on to tell others in turn. And some of them will believe, and so it goes on and on and on. As God works through his word by his Holy Spirit, people really can come to faith. And we see this backed up in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. If you know that book at all, it's got some quite famous verses about the Bible in there, so you might not be surprised that we're kind of turning there. But I want to look at verse 15 in particular. As Paul speaks to Timothy, he says this: from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So here Paul is reminding Timothy that the sacred writings, by which he means the Bible, the rest of the verses around that show us that, that the words of God which we have in the Bible are all the words of God that we need to be saved. They are able to make us wise for salvation, to instruct us in, to teach us about what it means to have saving faith in Christ. So everything that a person needs to come to trust in Jesus is in God's word. And that is what he works through by his Spirit to open people's eyes and bring them to know him. So we don't need to find something kind of miraculous or spectacular or extra for friends who aren't Christians to see so that then they'll finally believe. Everything that they need in order to turn to Christ is found in God's word. We aren't missing something or, feeling because our presentation of Jesus isn't kind of jazzy enough or exciting enough because we're just opening up the Bible with people. That's what we need to do. And we can do that with confidence. Pointing others to Jesus in his word, knowing that it contains everything that they need to bring them to Christ. And I think at times that feels really weak, doesn't it? We can so easily think, what good, you know, is a book going to do for my loved one who isn't a Christian? But remember that as you use it, you're not just looking at any old book with them, right? We're opening up the living word of the Almighty God with them and hearing him speak, through which he really can change even the hardest hearts and open people's eyes to understand that they need him as his Holy Spirit works and convicts them. Now we know that as we share with them, some of our friends may not believe, and that is really heartbreaking, that's really difficult. But we need to remember that that's not because God's word is lacking, it's because they've rejected the things that it does contain. Remember back to the parable of the sower again, that's a response that Jesus tells us to expect as people meet him. Some will reject him. So whether or not it looks or feels like it, have confidence that God's word really is powerful and he really does work through it. And that means that sharing something of it with others is exactly the right thing to do. even if it doesn't feel or look particularly impressive or particularly impactful. Okay, that's the first one. I guess if we start to look at the second heading, if any of us are feeling kind of senses of, okay, fine, maybe God's word is powerful, but kind of looking at it with other people, I mean, wouldn't that be a bit weird? I don't know, just a bit uncomfortable, a bit awkward, maybe a bit dull? Kind of why would they want to do that? Why would they be interested? Well, we need to remember when those feelings come that God's word is engaging and we can enjoy it and we can enjoy opening it up with others. As well as being powerful, God's word is compelling, it is interesting, and it gives people the opportunity to go straight to Jesus for themselves. Now, it might sound strange to invite a friend to look at part of the Bible with you, but what better place could there be for people to find out about Jesus than seeing for themselves the things that he did and the things that he said? When we offer something of God's word to others, we're not offering them something kind of like naff. We're not offering them something boring. In Luke 24, we see two disciples say that their hearts burned when they met Jesus in the Bible. If we think of the gospel accounts, for example, God has given us true, interesting stories about Jesus, which really are engaging. And Jesus himself isn't boring. Even people who might not agree with him or like what the Bible says about him, I think we'd probably be hard-pressed to call him dull. And as we open up with the Bible with others, we're just introducing them to him. And his message is one that is truly wonderful and is truly life-changing. By sharing something from God's word with others, we're not shortchanging them. We're not kind of automatically signing them up to have a terrible time. You know, we can kind of think sometimes, oh no, they've got to think about the Bible per day. Oh, I feel terrible for asking them, you know. But we're actually offering them the most precious thing that there is and inviting them to come and look at him in all of his beauty for themselves. I think as well that we need to remember that God's word is written for us by our Creator who made and knows us and knows what we need. The things that he tells us in his word connect with life as humans and our greatest need of salvation in him. And so there are lots of people, at times maybe us too, can sort of think the Bible is a bit of a dusty old book. Like, of course that is just far from the truth. Even when it can feel hard to read sometimes, or when the cultural setting of some of the stories feels quite removed from our own, it still speaks profoundly to us today. I'll never forget the experience of chatting with one of my friends at uni about Christianity. She had had some questions, and another friend and I had like had a few different kind of conversations with her about things. And so I ended up kind of saying, "Oh, do you want to look at a bit of the Bible together?" And she said yes, and okay, I was like, "Yes, great." And we carried on kind of having coffee or whatever we were doing, kind of hanging out. And as the conversation went on that day, she sort of kind of brought up the topic of like satisfaction. I think she was just kind of just really wrestling with that question, sort of feeling like life was a bit of a disappointment. The things that she thought would satisfy her just hadn't, and she was kind of wondering, "Can you have it in life? Where can you actually find it?" And it was amazing because I was able to then kind of take out the, we were going to work through a set of Bible notes together as we opened up the Bible, and take her to those notes, open it up to John chapter 4, the Gospel of John is what we were going to work through. And right there on the page was the question, do you think it's possible to find lasting satisfaction? And if so, how? That was where the Bible study started. And of course, that's a question, a kind of topic that John 4 helps us to kind of think about. And she was just flabbergasted, you know? She was just delighted as well that the Bible would talk about this issue that she was feeling so keenly and trying to think through. But we shouldn't be surprised, should we? The Lord knows what his creatures need, and his word points us to it. So we'll maybe pause for another moment there just to kind of mull so far what we've said so far kind of over a little bit together. I wonder if you kind of chat with people around you in twos and threes again. Are there things that you personally need to remember about God's word as you think about opening it up with people who aren't Christians? Are there things that you personally need to remember about God's word as you think about opening it up with people who aren't Christians? And how might taking these truths to heart help you do it? Sorry, I didn't manage to get that question in the booklet, but hopefully you'll be able to remember it. Have a chat about that for a few minutes. Let's come back together there. I'm sure there's lots more to say, but we will keep on moving and we'll keep looking at that sort of third heading now down in the booklet. Because I think sometimes even if we are on board with the idea, you know, we kind of want to open up the Bible with people who aren't Christians in theory, we kind of know it's a good thing, we might still be thinking, yeah, but like how? How do I do it? And that's what we'll think about in the rest of our time together. I wonder if for lots of us we can be a bit crippled by those feelings of inadequacy. You know, that's definitely where I'm often at. And like we said, we kind of think things like, I don't know the Bible that well, so how can I explain it to somebody else, especially somebody who doesn't believe it? And if we're carrying any of those feelings, I think this is where the third point on the sheet is really helpful. We don't have to be perfect Bible experts. Our role is to be faithful Bible sharers. So we don't need to know everything. We simply need to be willing to be a Christian friend, prepared to open up God's word and let it work. Remember, like we said earlier, our confidence is in God's powerful, life-giving word. That is what changes people. Which really takes the pressure off us, because it means it's not about our gifts, our abilities. Those aren't the thing that change people. Our role is just to give other people an opportunity to discover Jesus as he's shown in the Bible, and to be alongside them as a loving friend as we do that. We're just looking at what the Bible says together and trusting God to be at work through that. We're going to think about a couple of ways that we can do that. We'll think firstly about kind of sharing Bible truths in our conversations, and then we'll think secondly about kind of sitting down to look together at the Bible in a more maybe structured kind of way. But to start off with, we can think about sharing Bible truths in our conversations. I'm not sure what we have in mind when we think about introducing people to Jesus and his word. I wonder if the second option is more what most of us maybe imagine, a kind of sit down, sort of focus time of looking at the Bible, probably reading one of the Gospels with someone else. And absolutely, that is wonderful. As I said, we'll come to look at that in a moment, and we will spend all of the rest of our time on that, much more of our time on that. But before we get there, I wonder if it's helpful to think a little bit about what it could look like to share something of God's word in our everyday conversations. And that might feel a little bit forced, but imagine with me a kind of scenario a bit like this. So maybe a friend who isn't a Christian shares with you something that they're struggling with. And as you care for them, as you listen, maybe as you help out practically, what if we also thought, is there anything I've learned from God's word recently, maybe in a sermon at church or from my own kind of Bible time personally, that I can share with this person in this situation and pray for God's help to kind of pass on to them? It doesn't have to be like a huge monologue, but it could be a wonderful sort of low-key chance to introduce them to God's life-giving word. So I've been spending a bit of time in the servant songs in Isaiah recently, which are really beautiful prophecies about Jesus, God's servant who was promised to come and rescue his people. So we were looking at them as a church family over Easter, and then I've kind of been mulling them over a bit more myself personally since. And one of the things that has struck me most about those kind of sections of the Bible is the gentleness and kindness that Jesus has towards his weary, weak, lost people. So what if I were to say something to this hypothetical friend like, I've been looking at a part of the Bible recently that has reminded me how compassionate and gracious Jesus is. As a Christian, that's been such an encouragement, such a help to me. Like, I'd be really glad to show you those verses and talk about it a bit more sometime if you'd like that. There might be ways like that that we could share something from God's word in our everyday conversations that we haven't considered before. And who knows, that can maybe lead to more opportunities to open up God's word in a more extended way with someone in time. Which brings us nicely on to thinking about number two, sitting down together to look at the Bible. And what we're going to do, I guess, in this section is go on a bit of a journey of sitting down to look at the Bible with someone. We'll kind of walk through the different stages of what that might be from before to during to after. And so to start things off, we're going to think about inviting. If we're going to sit down and look at the Bible with someone else, I guess we need to ask them if they want to do that. We need to invite them. And so it'd be great if you could have a go at that in your little twos and threes, fours again. If you were going to invite someone to look at a bit of the Bible with you, what kind of things might you say or do? How might we go about it, do you think? Brainstorm that for a couple of minutes. Let's come back together there. I wonder what sort of things, I don't know, you were coming up with, what sort of suggestions you had. I think it's quite hard, isn't it? It probably feels quite contrived in a setting like this as well, doesn't it? And it probably very much like depends on the person we're inviting and where they're at as well. So you'll know your friends, your family, your colleagues, whoever it might be, and what might be a good way to approach it with them. So absolutely, do take that into account. But here are a few suggestions that might help us as we kind of think about actually kind of biting the bullet or asking someone if they might be willing to sit down and look at the Bible with us. Firstly, a couple of things to bear in mind before we get to the actual inviting. Firstly, pray. So obvious, but so easy to forget, isn't it? We can ask God to help us ask them. Isn't it amazing that we don't have to do that on our own? We can share with the Lord the desire we have to help others meet Jesus in his word. We can share our fears about opening up his word with others, with him. And we can ask for his help, for words to say, for boldness, and that if it's his will, that he might make them open to saying yes. So pray, let's start there, even before we invite or ask. I think the other thing is to kind of not sort of count people out. It's very kind of easy, I think, to underestimate how open people can be to spending time with us and finding out what we believe. We care about them, they care about us, they might actually be quite up for spending some time with us. So we don't want to rule people out mentally, you know, we can do that so easily, can't we? That sort of, well, they'll never be interested, so I'll not ask them. Only the Lord knows who will be up for it. So let's be open to inviting widely. In terms of kind of going for it and asking them, I wonder what kind of things you thought could maybe work as you chatted in your conversations. Here are a few possible suggestions that you could make your own or adapt or come up with something else altogether. But if, for example, they'd maybe come along to a church event with you, like maybe after a carol service or something like that, you know, that could be a nice launch point to say, you know, thank you so much for coming tonight. Like, if you'd ever like to find out more about, you know, what they said in the talk this evening, we could look at one of the books of the Bible together. I would love to do that with you. Like, just let me know. Or maybe something like, we've had a couple of like chats about Christianity. So I was wondering if you'd like to look at part of the Bible with me. I think that's one of the best ways to get your head around it all. Or maybe even the fact that you're here today could be quite a good opportunity. You know, kind of someone says, well, what did you do at the weekend? And actually saying, oh, well, I was at an event on Saturday where we were thinking about giving people the opportunity to find out about Christianity for themselves by looking at part of the Bible. Like, is that something you would ever be interested in? There's no pressure, but if you'd like to, look, I'd be so glad to do that with you. There are loads of resources out there to help us kind of open up the Bible with others as well. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But that can be a way in with people too, can't it? And is saying, well, I've got these notes that take you through one of the books of the Bible with some questions. Would you like to look at the first few sentences with me over a coffee? Like, I'll buy. It'll only take half an hour. And it's a great summary of what I believe. You know, I'd love to share that with you. Again, there's no pressure to keep going. Like, we can start, and if you don't like it, we can stop. We just want to be clear in what we're talking about with them. Kind of let them know they're not signing their life away. Let them know that they're not signing up to look at the whole Bible. Some people might think that. That might well scare them off because it's big. We're just looking at a section of it, and we want to make that clear. And I think the other thing is we want to be confident as we invite them, don't we? When other people invite you along to their things, they aren't generally reluctant about it or embarrassed about it, are they? You know, kind of like, oh, please, would you come to my birthday party? Do you want to come to my birthday? You know, or, oh, my orchestra's doing a thing, but like, do you want to come? You know, and yet that's often how we kind of think about inviting people to Christian things, isn't it? Whenever other people are kind of reluctant or embarrassed about inviting us to their things, we sort of think, oh no, they don't really want me to come. Or, oh no, if I do come, it's going to be awful, isn't it? But when they're excited about it, we're more likely to be interested in it. And I think it's the same thing here. Remember, we've got something genuinely wonderful to offer. We're not shortchanging people by inviting them to look at this with us. Now, we need to remember as well that some people might say no, but that's to be expected, and that is okay. I had a friend who asked the guy he was studying with if he wanted to look at a part of the Bible with him. That friend said no, and nothing happened. They carried on being friends, and it was okay. I've also had people want to meet for a little bit. We've kind of met a couple of times, read a couple of chapters, and then it's kind of fizzled out. They haven't wanted to meet anymore. They've kind of lost interest. And that's sad, and that can be hard, but it's also okay. It's not a failure on our part. Remember, we don't control people's responses. Our job is just to sow the seed. So remember that as we invite. Okay, so we've invited someone to look at a bit of the Bible with us. They've said yes. Another thing for you to chat about then in your twos and threes, the sort of next stage, I guess, as it were. As we think about meeting with them, what things might we do, not do? What might we want to take into consideration before we meet, as we're meeting with them, and then afterwards? Have a chat about that for a few minutes. That sort of feels like we're heading towards a lull, so we'll come back together. I won't ask you to feedback, not because I don't think there will be lots of helpful and wise things said here, but because it can be a painful feeling to sort of speak out into the room, can't it? But I'm sure lots of the things that I'm about to say will have come up in your conversations, and you'll have been thinking them too. And if there are other things I haven't mentioned, do feel free to share those with each other afterwards. I think that'll be really, really helpful. But as we carry on this kind of journey, we've now kind of reached before we're meeting with this person to look at the Bible with him. And a few things I think is helpful to consider is, you know, praying beforehand ourselves, right? Like, again, spending that time kind of asking for the Lord's help and committing that time to him, praying for him to be at work through his powerful word. And we want to read through the passage that we'll be looking at a couple of times as well, so that we're familiar with it. And if you're using notes, have a look at them so that you kind of know where things are going. Again, that maybe sounds really obvious, but just even just a few minutes of kind of getting our bearings, think, oh yeah, this is where we're headed, like, will probably help settle us as we go in and help us to kind of have the conversation in a more clear way. This is a great thing to do. And as we think about even where to go in the Bible, I think a gospel is probably the best place to start. Like we said earlier, they take us straight to Jesus. They allow people to see for themselves who he was, what he said, what he did, and why that matters for them. And there's loads of great resources out there to help us look at gospels with our loved ones who aren't Christians as well. So you don't just have to kind of jump into a passage and hope for the best or kind of come up with your own Bible studies. I've listed a couple of those resources that can be really helpful at the bottom of the booklet there. They're both great options, they're just different. And on the websites for these two different resources, they also have lots of pointers on how to use the material and extra resources to kind of support you as you do that too, maybe answering some big questions that might come up, things like that. So they're both well worth having a look at and seeing what's there. The word one-to-one is not a Bible study, it's kind of simply the passage with notes about what it means for you and someone, and then for you and someone else to kind of chat through. So it's just passage plus a few notes, and then you just chat about it. It's just there as a kind of springboard for you. For example, John 1, the verses we read at the beginning, it draws out really simply the big things that are going on and just has them jotted down at the side of the verses, so that by the end of your time kind of looking through it with someone else, and although we said at the start, there's a lot going on here, hard to kind of know what all of that means, it would be really clear that Jesus was there before the world existed. Jesus is God. He made everything. Those who believe in him become members of God's own family. He doesn't bring rules, but grace and truth. And John claims that we can know God personally through Jesus Christ. So all of that's kind of there at the side in bullet points for you. You don't have to come up with those things yourself. And as the notes point them out, you can imagine the conversations that might start from there, can't you? Maybe about what it means for God to come to earth as a man, or what it means to know God personally, or what it means that Jesus brought grace, not rules to follow, and how that's different maybe to lots of people's perception of what Christianity is. Uncover is the other option I've put there. That's more of a Bible study format with kind of questions for you to answer together and look for through the passages as you go. It's developed for students, but you can still use it if you're not a student. It might still be helpful. Just be aware of that. I think different things work for different people, whether that's a kind of just chatting things through or whether that's having more structured questions to answer. But whatever you choose to use, I think it's really helpful to have a copy for you and a copy for them so that you're both able to follow along for yourselves. It's not that you kind of have the secret answers tucked away, but it's just both of you looking at the same thing together. And as I said, it's probably helpful to have a look at, over it yourself ahead of time, just so you kind of know where things are headed and what you're aiming to land in. Okay, that's before. Then when we get to during, again, this may sound obvious, but we just want to be normal. We want to care about them as a person alongside having time in the Bible, right? It could be easy to feel like we're here to do a Bible study, but actually we want to ask about how their week has been. We want to catch up before we jump into the passage, show hospitality, let them know that you care about them as a person, and pick a location that will be comfortable for them, somewhere they'll be at ease, wherever that might be, your house, their house, coffee shop, whatever, just somewhere that they'll kind of feel comfortable. And remember that we don't have to say kind of everything the first time that you meet. Their understanding will build over time as you look at more of God's word together. So we're taking people through the whole story gradually as they get their heads around it. It doesn't have to be a big kind of info dump in one go. We want to try as well to kind of have a sort of tone of discussion, right? It's not us grilling them. It's not a test to get the right answers. Again, it's just both of us looking together at God's word and having a chat about what we see there. We want to genuinely listen to what they say. Don't feel a pressure necessarily to kind of correct them every time that they say something that isn't the kind of full Christian answer. But don't be afraid to ask them why they think what they think or why they've answered the way that they have answered. And then share your thoughts. That might be the same as what they said, or it might be adding something extra, or it could be totally different as you answer from a Christian perspective and help them understand what the verses are saying. I think we want to as well kind of avoid assuming anything. They might have some Christian background, or it might be the first time they've looked at the Bible. So, you know, all those things that we can sometimes take for granted, like just saying, oh, it's verse 1 and chapter 2, might be totally foreign to them. And that's absolutely fine. But we can always just ask them kind of how they're finding, getting their bearings in this, and explain what different things mean. But just avoid assuming that they might know more than they do. And likewise, it's okay for them to know that we don't know everything, right? It's okay to say that we aren't kind of sure what an answer to a question is. If they've asked something and we don't know the answer, it's far better to say that and to say, oh, actually, can I go away and look into that and come back to you? And that's much more helpful, much more honest than sort of pretending and bluffing an answer because we feel like we have to know. They'll be grateful for the transparency, and it'll be much more helpful to have a kind of honest conversation with a truthful answer rather than us blagging. There's a few things to bear in mind as we actually meet and look at the passage together. And then afterwards, once we've kind of finished the time of kind of looking at the Bible together, might sort of be half an hour-ish or so, doesn't have to be hugely long, but we can ask them if they'd like to meet again. And if they're keen, it can be good to put a time in the diary then. It's true for this, probably just true for life often, isn't it? We know what life is like. It's hard to pin people down. And with the best will in the world, before you know it, it could be 2 months before you know you've kind of caught up with someone again, even though you've really meant to do it sooner. So it's often helpful to just put a time in the diary there and then if they're up for it again. And that helps keep the momentum going. And it's good for us too to just be prepared for the long haul, I think. We want to make it clear to them that it's commitment free for them. If they decide they want to stop, that's okay, we will stop. But if they're keen, we want to see that commitment on our end through. We want to be prepared to keep going with them. If they say no or it fizzles out, keep on being their friend. Keep having a warm relationship with them. Let them know that it's not like because they don't want to do this that nope, they're out, you're done, onto your next project. But that you still love them, you still care about them. Keep on praying. Pray boldly that the Lord might bring them to trust in him for themselves. Pray for salvation. And remember that it is God's work through his word. We can rest in that, right? Like we said before, we can't change hearts, but we can be faithful in opening up God's word and praying for this person and trusting it all to him. So it's his work through his word. I appreciate that's a bit of a splurge of throwing kind of lots of little bits and bobs of info out there. So I think it might be helpful to have one last chance to kind of chat some of what we're hearing through together before we finish up. Why don't you share with one another anything in particular that has like encouraged you or helped you from thinking this through this afternoon, or something you want to tuck away and remember? What might it look like for you personally to put some of this into practice? Have a chat about that, and then I'll bring us back together. If you've kind of chatted about what some of your big like takeaways might be, why don't we just spend the last couple of minutes praying for one another? Again, in those huddles, praying for the Lord's help to put those things, whatever they are, into practice. There might be particular people who you would like to ask to look at the Bible with you, so you can pray for them as well, for opportunities to do that with them, and for the Lord to be at work, opening eyes through his powerful word. Why don't we finish up by praying together in those little huddles. Thanks so much. Thank you.